o'clock that I was doing this. But it's all right because we're instant in season and out of season. And worship doesn't get old. It's funny. Now, I don't know if you all remember that song, The Love of God, or you remember that voice. That's Morris Chapman. You remember Morris Chapman? And it was funny. I was reading this book on worship, and I got to this one line, and it said, you know, we have to sing these songs. And I understand Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. We should come. The Bible says when you come, we should have that. But it was talking about when you sing old songs, you're just going nostalgic, and songs have an expiration. And I went, what? And I thought, wait. This is not feeling right, not sounding right. A song of the Spirit, I don't care what century it was written in or what decade it was written in, a song of the Spirit is going to be a song of the Spirit, and it's going to have its place. It's going to have a place. Amen. It's always going to have a place. So depending on your type of service. So if you're doing a tent service, yeah, pulling up those songs from what Oral Roberts did and A. Allen did and it's songs from the early days of Brother Hagin. Those songs work with a tent meeting. Yes. They do. Those songs of praise and worship, those choruses. One thing that's always been on my heart with praise and worship in a congregation setting is that the congregation should be able to sing along with you. This congregation should not have to always depend on words. Yes, you do new songs and they need to see the words and all of that. But you should be able to pull that congregation so that they're involved in praise. Yes. Amen. Yes. Congregation needs to be involved in praise and not feel like they just heard the top 10 on the radio station, even though it could be really good. And it could say a lot of really good words. There's songs of the heart and knowing. There's something Brother Copeland said, you know, I done brought everything with me. So Brother Copeland had said something in that word. And y'all know the deal. I don't know where this is going, but we're going to get there anyway. Amen. In this word, what about, is this the what about 2020? Oh, yeah, it's what about 2020. I'm like, and this was July 14th, Sunday. But he said something here that I wanted to bring up. And he said, or was it another week? Wait a minute, let me make sure I have the right one. Yes. He was talking about this church has a call. Every church has a call. There's not a right call or a wrong call, right way to do this or wrong way to do it. Each church has a personality, if you will, that God has ordained for that church. If you close your eyes and you hear music start, you can say, that's Keith Moore's church. You know it's Keith Moore's church. Sometimes I actually listen to Sun Life, Brother Swaggart. You know that that's Brother Swaggart's music. You know that's the music of that family worship center. That's, if you go there, that's what you're going to hear. Don't go there and try to change it. That's what you're going to hear. If you go to Brother Moore's church, this is what you're going to hear. And you're going to hear it a certain way. It's going to have a certain sound. That's what you get. Amen. And you have to know to go in and receive that and be okay with that. You come to EMIC, you're going to get a mix of things. That's right. Amen. Because each church is called to something else. Yes. And I remember Carlton Pearson. Carlton Pearson said he was called to bridge the gaps between denominations, between generations. So sometimes, and I remember being young and Andre Crouch, you know, coming up with Andre Crouch and the Hawkins, you know, and I wanted to discard every one of them hymns. Because my dad was a Methodist pastor. I went to an Episcopal school. And so I knew how to do all of that. And I used to love the Baptist music because it did this. And I couldn't stand these old hymns. And my mom played the organ. My mom played organ well into her 90s. And she was not that. She said, well, you know, I'm not that kind of gospel player. She played the hymns. She watched the music. She played the hymns. But as I got more mature, in age and in the Lord, then you start to pick those hymns. I mean, some of them are embalmed with unbelief. Let's face it, some of them are. It's true. Some of them we need to just take and just maybe hold on to the tune and write new words. But then there are others that will speak throughout the ages. It'll speak in this age. It'll speak in the next age. Amen. There are songs that I believe that we will hear in heaven that we sang here on earth because they came from there. You know, we do now, we have these things where we're going to have a writing workshop and we're going to sit down and we're going to brainstorm or spirit storm, whatever you want to call it, and we're going to write music. But if I was, of course, reading Ruth Ward Heflin, so are we going to write music from here? Or are we going to go into a place where we get into the Spirit? Amen. And listen to what's going on there. Because if we hear in heaven, that song will come to earth. Amen. And that's what we want to, this is what we want to do. Amen. We want to hear from, so we want to get into that place, you know, from the glory book. Because I probably have it, right? Yes, of course. So from glory. Okay, she has a few of these, and if you're going to be a worshiper, if you're going to be a praiser, and everyone is called to do that, everyone is called to that ministry. The same way we're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, we are all called to praise and worship. Praise and worship is not about a platform. Praise and worship is about you connecting with God in ways that you can't even describe. What can happen for you in praise and worship? So in her books, there's glory, there's unifying glory, there's golden glory, there's river glory, there's revival glory, and did I get them all? Okay, so I think I got them all. But anyway, she wrote them. Some are out of print. Some you can get online. Some you can get online free. I found out. Free download. But she taught, Ruth Ward Heflin. And she comes out of a Pentecostal family, her mom, her dad, her brother, all Pentecostal people, but talking about praise. And you come into a praise will take you to worship. Worship will bring you to the glory. Can't jump to the glory. You got to start in praise. You got to start in praise. So there was, there's another book. There's a book under here. This book. Terry Law. The Power of Praise and Worship. Amen. I probably have an older copy. But he said some things here. And you know, if it sounds scattered at first, we'll pull it all together eventually. Praise silences the devil. And isn't this what we want to do? We need to shut him up. We need to shut him up. So this is one of the most important facts for practical Christian living. So there we go. You want to live a Christian life, you better learn how to praise. Absolutely. Every believer needs to learn how to make the devil shut up. Praise is a way to silence him. I know we used to tell our children, that's not a nice thing to say, shut up. But when we're talking to the devil, tell him to shut up. Praise will stop the oppression of his evil thoughts. Praise will bring the weapons of God to bear against the attack of the evil one. So Psalm 8, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. In verse 1, David says, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Notice the weapon that David is using here is the name of the Lord. The launching vehicle or rocket that sends forth the name against strongholds is the launching rocket of praise. So let me say that again, because I just thought that was really good. The launching vehicle or rocket that sends forth the name against strongholds is the launching rocket of praise. Amen? That's the launching rocket. So we begin to read the Psalms. We immediately begin to recognize that David is launching into spiritual warfare. Then he says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies. Notice enemies here is used in the plural. Yes. I believe he's referring directly to evil spirits. The instruments that Satan uses come against the believer. Every one of us is under attack from evil spirits because, you know, he can't leave us alone, but we can shut him up. So notice the next phrase, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. David here speaks of the enemy in the singular. He is referring directly to Satan, not to his little fellas underneath him. Because of Satan and his many demon spirits coming against believers, God has ordained a method for believers to make them be silent. This verse says that thou mightest still. A practical translation of that might be that you might make the devil shut up. There is tremendous strength here in the ability of the believer to make the devil shut up. And the way he does this is out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. Praise comes from the mouth. It comes from the mouth. You can't shut them up unless you open your mouth. You have to open your mouth. We've heard Brother Copeland say this so many times. You can't fight a thought with a thought. And all thoughts are coming from one direction or another. Thoughts are coming from good. Thoughts are either God-infused, Holy Spirit-infused, or thoughts are demonically infused. None of our thoughts are ours. I hate to disappoint us. We really don't have an original thought. Thoughts are influenced. They are influenced. So when we hear a bad thought, you know, and sometimes you hear people say, oh, my gosh, I shouldn't be thinking like that. Well, it wasn't you. Well, that's right. Shut the devil up. It's him who sent he sent that bad thought. Yes. Amen? Glory to God. Let me see, because I don't want to read the whole book. Hold on. So let me just go to, praise comes from the mouth. Notice the use of the word mouth in this verse. All spiritual weapons have only one launching pad, and that is the mouth. The mouth is the center of all spiritual warfare, and here the weapons of God are launched out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. In Revelation 16:13, the scripture says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. The mouth can launch the devil's weapons in the same way that it can launch God's weapons. All spiritual weapons are launched through the mouth. So, this is a very important lesson here. Our mouths must be watched over, because no matter what we say with our mouth, we are launching weapons of one sort or another. Those weapons must be God's weapons and not the devil's. If we don't use our mouths correctly, we simply make it impossible for us to win the battle. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal, amen, to win. Amen. Amen. What comes out of the mouth ultimately settles the conflict with the evil one. And that is why the challenge of praise is so important for the believer. God has ordained that the believer exercise this kind of strength, and it has one primary effect. It makes the devil shut up. Our mind cannot be invaded with his thoughts. Our mouths cannot be polluted with his words. Amen. You like that one. Makes the devil shut up. Shut up. Shut up. The answer to any situation, any problem, anything that the devil has brought to you, first, answer it. Answer it. Shut up, devil. Shut up. Secondly, tell him to get lost. Out. You leave. Don't let them stay around and talk again. Shut up and leave. The third thing is praise. Takes 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 5 seconds to shut them up, 5 seconds to tell them to go. The rest of your time is praise. And as long as you are praising with your mouth, you cannot think the thoughts. And I think I brought it out last time I was here. You can think thoughts while you're praying in tongues. Mm-hmm. And you can think thoughts while you're reading the word. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you're reading the word and the devil's going, blah, 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 and you're reading and you don't even know what you read. So you start again and now you 15 times you started back that same part because you didn't get it in there because this was going on. But it's the experiment that Brother Copeland does with us and says, all right, I want everybody to count to five. Now say your name. You know, half the time people don't do it. But what he's trying to show us that is if you are speaking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Cynthia, you had to stop. What did you have to do? You had to stop counting to hear what your mouth is saying, because now your mouth is saying something else. And that is where we win the battles with the mouth, with praise. Amen. It's with the praise. Amen. So there was something else. Can I probably get back to him? And the sacrifice of praise. I know we talked about that a time ago. But the sacrifice of praise isn't, so it's easy to say what it isn't. The sacrifice of praise is not, praise God anyhow. Just praise him anyhow. Just praising God anyhow. Well, I just praise the Lord. Well, just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord anyhow. Praise. I'm just praise God. That is not the sacrifice of praise. That bumper sticker that used to say, praise God anyhow, praise God anyway. It's not, because we have, you know, I was listening to Keith Moore the other day, and he was talking about our English language has evolved. So what was a definition of something one time has now evolved into like a definition of something else, like the word incredible. Incredible means not credible, not believable. But anytime we see something wonderful, we go, that's incredible. That's incredible. You're incredible. She's incredible. He's incredible. It was an incredible message. It was incredible. It was incredible. And it was. And I remember learning this from Brother Copeland and being at a Mary Kay convention. He said, and our incredible this person, and our incredible. And I said, don't call me incredible, please. Don't. I'm not incredible. I am very credible because I did not lie to you. Amen. But because Satan has twisted the words in our mouth. So when people say something is incredible or something is, oh, girl, that's unbelievable. Why is it unbelievable? We're a believer. We're believers. So if we start saying that's unbelievable, we say we're incapable of believing. So how do we choose what we believe and what we don't believe? So it's not unbelievable. That may be amazing. Wow. But it's not unbelievable because you're looking right at it. So it's not unbelievable. But we have taken words to mean a different thing. So the same thing with sacrifice. The sacrifice is an offering. It's an offering to God. I got to remember who says this, because y'all like to know where I get my stuff from. So I'll tell you. Wait a minute. It is off of Keith Moore has a series. Y'all know I love Keith Moore. Okay. I mean, if you really want to get things straight, you listen to Keith Moore. You know. Because what's his famous line? That's not okay. Yeah. That's not okay. And I'm like, okay, that's not okay. But, you want to get it straight. Careful for nothing. No, not that one. Not humility. The life of praise. It's a good one. The life of praise. When to praise, where to praise, why praise. He's worthy. Why praise, praise him. All of that. Three of them, why praise. Thanksgiving, praise. Again, boasting in, okay, I'm not seeing all my, okay. Praise blesses him, praise helps us, okay. Thanksgiving is the key to more. Praise, boasting in the Lord. Thanksgiving, worship in spirit. And then the offerings of the Lord. And he talks about that, it kind of mixes in there. The offerings of the Lord, those are both amazing, wonderful downloads that you just could sit there and listen and listen and listen and listen. And every time you hear it, you're going to hear something new. And it's because you know it's another dimension. You hear another dimension. And as you grow, you hear something else and you hear something else. So he talked about a sacrifice, like an offering. Praise is an offering to God. So the sacrifice of praise is an offering. It's not a drudgery. I'm going to praise him anyway. Pray the Lord. You're mad at that person, but pray the Lord. Now you made it almost a cuss. Well, praise God. You know, that's not a praise that's received. Amen. Amen. So, in fact, in Terry Law's book, okay, this is what I'm saying. The idea of sacrifice is everywhere in the Bible. The principle of sacrifice was first established in the Old Testament and began immediately after the original sin of Adam and Eve. God required that Cain and Abel bring a sacrifice to him. Abel offered the animal sacrifice that was pleasing to the Lord. Cain offered the Lord the first part of his harvest, the fruit of the ground. But this was unacceptable. As a result, Cain killed Abel out of jealousy. Okay, the first murder in the Bible occurred because of religious division. It has become the pattern for division between true faith and false faith throughout history. Those who would come to God with the fruit of their hands have always been fighting with those who come to God on the principle of faith. The spirit of Cain and the spirit of Abel are still alive in the church today. What is important to notice, however, is that God required a sacrifice. When God asked for a sacrifice, he asked the people to bring the very best of their substance and to present it in a very specific manner to the Lord as an offering. There were several sacrificial animals that were offered to God in the tabernacle of Moses. The high priest had to offer a bull for the cleansing of his own sin. A ruler of the people had to offer a ram. The people themselves could bring a lamb or a goat. The poor people in Jesus' time often brought doves to the temple. But the purpose for each sacrifice was the same. God demanded the shedding of innocent blood for the covering of man's sin. He instituted that principle when he shed the blood of innocent animals and took their skins to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve in the garden. This is an awesome concept. God's holiness could not be violated. His holiness had to be propitiated. To do that, the blood of an innocent sacrifice had to be shed. God's laws have not changed. When Jesus died on the cross for our sin 2,000 years ago, he propitiated the holiness of God. He satisfied God's justice. The blood sacrifice performed at Calvary became the final sacrifice for man's sin. Although the need for blood sacrifice was fulfilled at Calvary, the principle of sacrifice has not been abolished in the New Testament. The principle of sacrifice originated in the heart of God. God continues to require a sacrifice from his children. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Amen. So we have to give thanks. We have to bring this. We have to bring this worship. We have to bring it up. Amen. So how do we translate that into all the various things that we're praying over? We're praying over the victory thon, right? Which is like a month from now. We're praying over that, the various ins and outs of that, for the success of it. We're praying over the various needs of the ministry, the runway, the all the different things, the children's place, the things. We're praying over our college, amen, the KCBC College. We're praying over Pastor George and Terry and Pastor and Brother Copeland and Miss Gloria. We're praying over all of these things. So how do we incorporate praise? Easy. We can praise God over this. Yes, we pray in tongues. Yes, we worship and you know, we're praying and we're having intercessory prayer. We don't negate that. But the amen to any prayer is praise. We have to have the praise. You have to have it. You have to have the praise. You have to have the thanksgiving. When you thank God for what he's done, as Miriam did, as they crossed through the Red Sea on dry ground, and they got to the other side, Miriam did what? She played the tambourine and she started thanking God. The horse and the rider has fallen into the sea. Well, you're now thanking God for what he's done. Amen. Amen? So when we go back into our lives and thank God for this that he brought us out of, that that he did, this that he provided. I was just sitting down with my husband last night and I said, remember when we were living in this particular place? He said, yeah. I said, God's brought us from a mighty long way, hasn't he? He didn't finish. We're going on. Yes. But we started to think that I had a car. We had this car. Yeah, it started with a screwdriver. I'm telling you, it was that bad. I had a car you started with. I'm telling you, the police, we were in our church in New York, and we were sitting in the car. Well, somebody must have done something. So the police came onto the property, and we're over on one end, and they pulled up next to us, and that's your car. Were you at such a self? No, we were sitting in the car talking. This is your car? Yes, sir. It was like, okay. We had some, oh, gosh. We used to wake up the neighbors with one car. But
But look where God has brought us from. Come on, is it? Come on, where's God brought us from? I'm not in that place anymore. Amen. I'm not in that place anymore. You're not in that place anymore. And it may not have been a car. It may have been something else that where you were one time. You're not there anymore. Amen. Amen. There may have been a time where you only had three skirts and you had to rotate them. But now you got a closet and you're trying to figure out what I'm wearing today. Amen. Amen. There might have been a time that you didn't have enough food. I remember making ramen fried noodles for my kids with a can of Vienna sausages. I can make ramen fried noodles about 100 ways, and I never want to have them again, ever, ever, ever. Amen? I don't know how I didn't drop dead from all that salt. That stuff has so much salt in it, it's so bad for you. But I had to do that. I had to do that for a time and a season. I ended up learning how to make, and my kids called it mush, and they love it to today. And ground beef, you season it up, and you cook it up, and you put a can of cream corn and a bottle of barbecue sauce, and you boil the pasta. And you make one big pot. And what's good? It was so good. The kids loved it. The kids loved it. And I would make enough that they ate it every day for the week. My kids mastered in leftovers. We left over. I used to have to wash in the middle of the week because my son had three pairs of pants and three shirts. So I had to wash clothes in the middle of the week so we could get through the rest of the week. I was slick, though. I put him in private school and made my ex-husband pay for it. Yeah, you have to work it out the best way you can. But look where God has brought us. Look at where God has brought us. When we first moved here, I don't know how we lived. We knew God sent us here. But the first 8-9 months, every month was a miracle. I don't know how I lived. I must have got three times, you need to move in 3 nights. Three times from that place, you need to move because you didn't pay us. And then the money came. And then somehow this happened. And then somehow that happened. The first month, a friend of ours flew down from New York, paid our rent. We went, okay, this month's okay. Now what are we going to do? But look where we are today. Look where we are today. If not, I'm not late on my rent. I paid ahead of time this month. You know, but because God has brought us. So these are the things to be thankful for. What are we thankful for in this ministry? We used to be in the chapel, but we're in this building. We didn't have this space. Now we have this space. Now we've expanded to the other side. Now there's a college. Look where God has brought this ministry from. Amen. If any of you saw the broadcast with Pastor Gene on Revival Radio, and he was talking to Brother Copeland and Brother Jerry, and then they showed this property with nothing on it. Amen? Look where God has brought us from. If we're thankful for where he has brought us from, he can take us to the next place. He can do it again. You know that song he said? He'll do it again. Amen? It starts out, you may be down and thinking, feel that somehow God has forgotten. Well, we're not going to be down. And God has not forgotten. He has not forgotten. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Whatever it is, he's bringing. He's bringing it, and we're experiencing it, and we're thanking him for it. So we thank him. 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 That is the prayer, is to thank him, to thank him, to thank him. Oh, to love. Come on, take a thank you break right now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. For your faithfulness, for your faithfulness, for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 He spared our lives. So I've been talking. Glory to God. Glory to God. He spared our lives. Hallelujah. Our lives have been spared. Hallelujah. Our lives are spared. Bless the Lord. Because all of us can think of a time when we were in a car and somebody almost wiped us out. And we're alive today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many times? There. Yes. How many times? Thank you, Lord, that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That heaven is our home. Glory to God. We don't sing songs about heaven anymore, but heaven is our home. The New Jerusalem is our home. Glory to God. Glory to God. Blessed be God forevermore. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I was talking with somebody the other day, and he told me, he said, you know, Pastor, Saturday was my wife's 9 years that she's gone. He said, but I was thinking, 1,000 years is as a day. How long is she gone? Oh, that was a challenge. So we started cutting it down. And I cut it down, I cut it down, I cut it down. We came down. I said, she's gone less than 15 minutes. Yeah. It's gone less than 15 minutes. 9 years. Yeah. Because 1,000 years is a day, so a half a day is 500 years, a quarter of a day is 200, you know, so you break it down. You can't even, somebody who's gone in this past year, you can't, you, it's still moments, it's still moments, it's not even seconds, it's not even the seconds yet. It's just in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll join them. Amen? We forget about that. We, you know, you all know my mom passed in April, and unfortunately, my sister is in such heavy grief. And I mean, just grieving. Just, you can't say two words and she's in tears. And yet, I'm on the other side because of the teaching of this ministry. Because what I've learned here, what I've learned from Brother Copeland, what I've learned from Brother Moore. Yes, the victory over death. And notice they're speaking about it even more.
Yes, they are.
And I remember when Brother Hagin crossed over, and Miss Billy talked about, for so abundant entrance is ministered unto them. Abundant entrance, that people are on the shore waiting for you when you get there. And I thought of my mom going home, and my sister was stuck on her last breath out. I was on her first breath in. I thought, oh, my goodness, how many times did she and I talk on the phone about heaven, about different things? And I thought, oh, my, what she's seeing now. She must be like, oh! So it, how could I be in, do I think of her and do my tears come? Yes, but immediately I twist it and go, but she's having a good old time. She ran into her dad, who was also a pastor. I mean, we had all these pastors in our family. So dad was a pastor. My uncle, Uncle King. Oh, my gosh. She ran into him, Aunt Bidi. The dad is up there. And, I mean, then there's three. She has three siblings that pass as babies. So she gets to see them. My sister lost two. My daughter-in-law lost two babies. My mother was a foster parent for years. So you know, children, they're all around her. They're around, because you don't do something much different than what you were called to do here. You do it there in a different way, I believe. She's become part of the great cloud of witnesses. Amen. Part of the great cloud of witnesses. Not to know what we're doing every day, but to know what's happening spiritually here. And I was reading Robert Henderson's book about the cloud of witnesses, and that they get together and they come to the believers' conventions. They come and they watch, and they praise along with us. Because it's of the family of what? Of whom? Heaven and earth. It's one family. They're behind this veil that we can't see, but they're here. They're here, and we're here. So we continue to do what we do here to get over there. So we continue to praise. I praise God for the woman that she was and is. I praise God for what she taught. Amen. And the Lord let her come to me in a dream. After she passed, like a week after I got back home, I was in the stream. I was in my dad's church, and I'm playing the piano, and I close the piano, but when I close the piano, it's the coffin, and I'm closing it, and she's in. And I went out the back door because the door, our church, our house and our church next door to each other. So I used to went out the back door because I used to be as a kid. I used to say, I can't even go out in the front. I go everywhere through the back door, to the back door of the church and back home. You know, that was a kid. So I went through the back door, through the backyard, and in the back door. And as you went in the back door, there's a hall, and then there's the kitchen. And there was my mother where she normally is. She was cooking. She was at the stove. But there was my sister standing next to her going, Mom, Mom! And she's pulling on her. And I'm still standing there, and I'm watching this. And I didn't know if anybody else was there. And Mom turned away from her, walked past me, back through the backyard, on the steps. Dad is sitting on the steps. Where did he come from? Because he died 21 years ago, same month. And the church had, it's the seal, the roof, but there's a lower roof. And she got up on that lower roof and was going through the window, and she looked at me and she said, I have to finish my course. She's smiling. And I said, she's telling us, finish your course. Yes. Finish your course. And I just said, I woke up and I went, all right. Okay. Finish it. Because I know Mom. Mom would not want us to be here to be crying and boo-hooing when she's okay. Because all that came to my mind was the times that I went to see her, and she'd go, Cindy, what's wrong with me? Cindy, what's wrong with me? I can't think. The frustration that she had in those last years, and then she couldn't think, and then she would think that her family didn't come to see her, and I'd go, oh, but I'm here. And I used to go, I said, you remember me, because I'm the oldest. Remember me. Don't forget me. You know who I am, right? You know who I am. And she would look at me and go, now I don't know who you are. And then she'd pinch me, you know. So I knew she knew. And then when I would leave to come back here, she'd go, I don't want you to leave because you know what to do. You know what to do. And we would sit down and watch Gaithers because that part never left her. The music and the scriptures never left. Up to the day before she died, she corrected someone. That's not the right verse. Okay. The rest of it, she didn't know, but she did. But you know, to think of that, and to think of the glory, and us going over, and everything we do here is to prepare for there. Yes. Amen. Yes. Everything, even our rewards there are based on what we do here. Yes. So our praises, David learned to praise. David learned to praise, and if we want to learn to praise, we need to grab a hold of some of those Psalms. And we need to learn them. Sunday, Brother Copeland, Sunday, Pastor George started with, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I'm looking at the choir and nobody's saying it. I mean, they're in agreement, yes, and they're praising. And I'm like, hey, y'all don't know this? Yup. Now I had to learn that. So let's say it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Amen? As praisers, we should know it. We should know it. And I'm going to get on the choir because as singers and praisers, they should know it. Amen? You should know it. So there's Don Gossett. And I think I told you all before something with Nancy Dufresne talking about when those that have gone on before us, Norval Hayes, Brother Hagin, Brother Roberts, the seniors that we have now, Fred Price is still alive, the seniors, the generals, Brother Copeland, Jerry Savelle, the generals, God gives them a message. The message stays in the earth. We can't let the message stays in the earth unless we don't pick it up. If we don't pick it up, think Brother Hagin said, that psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, we've got to teach this to the church or it'll be lost to this generation. Nancy Dufresne, about two years after Brother Hagin left, heard the Lord say to her, they're about losing this psalm, the revelation that Brother Hagin brought, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Yeah. Pick it up. Pick it up. Yes. We have to pick up the message. Yeah. that message. You don't necessarily preach it the way they said it or what, but you have to take that message because it has to stay in the earth. Yes. Yes. Amen. It has to stay in the earth. So when I'm saying that, because Don Gossett hooked up with E.W. Kenyon, got permission from his ministry after he passed to incorporate his books. So he's written books, it says him and Kenyon, but he's written books and pulled Kenyon's teaching along with his. Amen. To keep that in. It, I call it a keeper of the flame. You got to keep that flame. You got to keep it lit. President Kennedy was assassinated in 1963, but that flame is still lit. It stays. You got to keep the flame. You got to be a keeper of the flame. He, anybody that works for him has to learn 100 praise scriptures.
Oh, wow.
This, he has the 100 praise scriptures. And I've written them out. But he has everybody learn it because he wants an atmosphere of praise in his office. And the benefits of memorizing these, first, you'll receive greater answers to prayer. Second, you'll have greater blessings of physical health. Third, you'll be able to wield the sword of the Spirit with greater authority. Fourth, you'll be able to overcome gloominess and depression.
Amen.
Amen. Because if you're in joy, you're not going to be gloomy. Amen. You're not going to be in depression. You're not going to be in depression. Amen. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet what? Praise him. I shall yet praise him. Amen. Glory to God. I was looking for, because like I tell y'all, I got this last minute. So I was looking for one of his stories in praise because it was so good. I think this is the one where he went to a church. He has a chapter that says, if you'd rather praise in private. No. Okay. You know, I praise inside. I praise inside. Now you're down. No. It's not. It's not inside. He went to this church. And there's other chapters, when all else fails, try praising. And it was his wife who got him to praise. He just thought, he said, no, we have to pray. We have to pray. We have to keep praying. We have to keep praying. And he wasn't getting anywhere. The prayer is heard, yes. But he wasn't getting anywhere because he wasn't praising. And when he found out about the praising, he went like, oh. Well, okay. He went to this church to speak. And this lady told him, we've not had a soul saved in our church for over a year. Another one said, our services have been dry and barren for so long. Another one said, our young people are indifferent to the gospel and the workings of the Spirit, declared an elderly Christian. Yet, all of these people told me how they had been praying and crying out to God to send revival to their church. One said they had been meeting part of the day each week for intercession on behalf of their dilemma. This had gone on for about 2 years. Yet everything registered failure in their church activities. That morning, I preached on affirming God's promises by praise. I challenged this sincere group of people that God's promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. I assured them that it was not the will of their Heavenly Father for them to go on defeated. When I came to the close of my message, I shared with them this dynamic scripture. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2. I told them that continual prayer for their needs was not wrong, but now was the time for them to take their answer by offering thanks for God's guarantees to bless, save souls, and send revival. I invited everyone to join with me in fervent prayer, acting on Matthew 18 and 19. You know, if two of you agree. Okay, we agreed in prayer that the Father would work by His Spirit to save souls that night. That night. Then we agreed for a spiritual refreshing to the people. I also encourage everyone to embrace with me Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have them. We desired souls to be saved, for God to bless us with the manifestation of His presence. So I told the people to believe we received these things and to thank God we had them. By believing the things we desired were ours, I encouraged everyone to lift their hands with me in an act of faith and give thanks to God for granting the things for which we had just asked, and for which they had been asking for so long. I then read Colossians 4:2 again, emphasizing the latter part, watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now, people, I said, throughout the afternoon, I want you to do some watching for this service. I want you to watch with thanksgiving, just like the Bible commands. Every time you think of our service tonight, look up and thank God for saving souls, healing sick bodies, blessing and meeting needs, expanding the runway, expanding the church for the 10,000 members. Every time you think of it, thank God. Look up and thank God. Thank God for the victory-thon that it is successful. Amen. Many of them, the people were stirred to go out and do that very thing. Watch with thanksgiving. Many of them told me later that night how they had done just that. One lady said, normally during the afternoon, I would weep for our church and beg God to undertake. But this afternoon, instead of being anxious about our meeting, I just held my heart steady and strong by praising the Lord. I kept watching with thanksgiving. And God, who watches over his word to perform it, certainly responded to us that night. Even before the main service was underway, two young people were convicted of their sin and their need of Christ. Right at the youth service prior to the evangelistic meeting, both accepted Christ. Six more were converted in the evangelistic service when I preached. What rejoicing there was that night after eight souls were born again. The Lord confirmed his word with signs following Mark 16:20, and everyone who entered into the service was abundantly blessed. All agreed that it was our watch with thanksgiving that produced such heavenly manifestations. Yes, we can pray and pray and pray, but we must believe God's word. By thanksgiving, take what he has provided. Hallelujah. What about your needs? Have you asked, prayed, and begged God? Now is the time for you to begin offering thanks by faith for what God has promised. I charge you to give yourself to watching with thanksgiving. You have surely prayed long enough. Thank God for doing exactly what he has promised to do. And I assure you, God will respond. Psalm 22:3 says, thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. That praise. Those people were praying and crying and weeping and praying and crying and weeping and praying. And nothing happened until they decided to watch, to praise with thanksgiving, to praise with thanksgiving. So, you know, some of you all here are intercessors on staff, and you have a list of things. You have a book of things. Amen. But watch with thanksgiving. Add it. Add it even more, because I know you all do. But add it even more. Add it even more. We want to accelerate something, but then we need to thank some more. We need to praise some more. Amen. And the praise will bring us into what? Into the worship. And the worship will bring us where? Into the glory. Into the glory. In the glory. And in the glory are all these signs and wonders and miracles and manifestations. Amen. The word that Brother Chevelle received from the Lord. Miraculous. The year's not over yet. There's miracles and wonders and signs still to happen in this last quarter of the year. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, he will restore. He'll restore and restore. And lately, Brother Copeland's been talking about the double and what happens when you double. It's almost like you can't figure it out. And the what?
The million and billion flow.
The million and billion flow. Amen?
We got to get in the billion.
We got to get in the billion flow. You got to get in the trillion flow. The country is in debt in the trillion, so let's get in the trillion flow. That's exactly, 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 because, amen, and I've heard Jesse, the planners, talk about that. The million flow will get a million souls, the billion flow will get the billion flow. You have to get into that flow because it takes money. It does take money and takes all of that. Amen, and amen, amen.
Because we know what to do with the money.
Exactly.
Come through the church.
Yeah, it does. Because we have to grab hold of what the earth has been holding on to, what the systems have been holding on to. So you have to pull those things back, and you pull it back with money. That's how you buy TV stations. That's how you buy satellites. That's how you do that with somebody. Satellites. Brother Jesse's been talking about that for a while. The satellites. We got a hold of that satellite. Yeah. We're beaming down everything that's supposed to come down. Amen. 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 Amen.
I believe for that because people know how. We'll put it in the church. It's going to come to all of us.
So, Brother Norval, the Lord said, "Son, the church is sadly lacking." I said, "What do you mean, sadly lacking?" Well, he said, "My children basically love me, but they live in poverty and sickness and defeat. They don't live in heaven's blessings because they don't worship me enough."
Wow.
You said that right, Lord, I said. In fact, I know whole congregations who don't spend any time worshiping you at all. The pastors don't even say, "Let's worship God for a while," just because he's God. They just teach the people to go to church, sing a few songs, listen to a song or two, sung by the choir, but they really don't worship you. And then he said to me, "And neither do you." Mm-hmm. I know that's a blow. All I could say was, "Is that right?" He continued, "You're going around the country teaching my word. Great. You're teaching faith. Great. And confession. You're praying for the sick. Great. But you need to worship me more. And you need to teach my people to worship me more. I'm their God and they're my children. If you'll teach my children to worship me more, I'll do great and mighty things for them."
Wow.
He said, by this time I was weeping. Every time the Lord tells me I'm a flake and I've missed it, I always respond. I always repent and weep. It wasn't long before I found out what the Bible said about worship and began to teach on worship. And everything he did from that time on, whether it was praying for the sick, teaching confession, all of it was from a place of worship, but from a place of praise and worship. Amen. Always from a place of praise and worship. Glory to God. That sick, poverty-stricken, weak, confused, goofed up life some believers are living is not the kind of life he prepared for us. The kind of life he prepared for us is an abundant life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to take that abundant life because we are going to worship and we're going to praise. Amen. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. Do it more. I'm finding myself doing Psalm 34 almost every morning. Well, all the time. Throughout the day. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless. I'm driving and I'm remembering that this is what, do this, because it says continually. Well, how do you do continually? You keep saying it every time you have a chance, every time there's a moment. And don't be afraid that when somebody says this is for you, and they're of the world, or they do something for you, well, praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. We need to say praise God, even amongst the heathen.
Yes.
You know, because if you get around one of the Muslims, they go, "All praise due to Allah." They ain't afraid to say "all praise due to Allah." So why do we not say praise God? Praise God. Well, thank you. Praise God. They tell you, "Oh, we're gonna do this for you at the airline, and okay, we could get you on this flight." Well, praise God.
Praise God.
We have to have more of that in our lips and more of that in our mouth. Let's praise God over all of the things that we're believing God for in this church. Let's praise God for it. We're praising God over a worship leader. We're praising. Stop looking at me. So praise God over. We gotta praise God over there. Make that face again. We got to praise God over everything that we're believing for. Amen. The runway, the all of that. Because right now we're operating out of an alliance. But we have a runway here. Didn't God give us a runway?
Yes.
Then why in the world are we operating out of alliance? We need to get our runway back. Amen.
Amen.
So we need it to expand and we need it to be redone. It has to be redone. It has to be resurfaced. Amen. And we need to do all the other ones. You all know some of the things that we believe in God for. So talk about some of what is on the agenda. Because I think I'm thinking of it off my top of my head, but you all do it every day.
You said earlier the 10,000 seat auditorium that you know, has been prophesied out here. Praise be to God.
Yeah.
Esther, bring it on here.
Bless the Lord. But yes, all kinds of, my Lord, how loud. Infrastructure things all around this campus. There's been so much done, and like we heard Pastor George say earlier, just a few months back, thank God money is in the bank for all these things, but there's so much more, and we're believing God here that all repairs are being done.
All repairs.
Everything brought up to date. Praise God that we're not, you know, falling behind, but that we're leading the pack. You know, Pastor Terry has talked to us many times about that this ministry, from the very start, has been on the cutting edge. We've always been out in the forefront, mm-hmm. not because, you know, we're trying to be all that, but no, it's because God has called this ministry to lead.
To lead, to lead.
Amen.
Amen.
You good?
Okay. All right. So, I'm going to read what Brother Copeland brought on July 14th, and then we're going to praise and rejoice in it. Amen. Well, concerning the 10,000, the partners, concerning the million partners, amen. Thus said the Lord, and this was Keith Moore, prophecy delivered on September 20th, 2002. Oh, that sounded louder than when I do it. Okay. Thus said the Lord, I am rallying and raising up support to you. It will far surpass all you have previously seen or known. I'm joining you to you new partners who are very strong financially, and they will obey me. This is what you're talking about. Very strong financially, and they will obey me. I'm prospering your longtime partners with supernatural increase, and they will obey me. Mark this day, Friday, September 20th, 2002. From this day, there is a release to you and to those who are joined to you. And all that you need and all that you desire will now come quickly, much easier than in times before. Well, we need to praise God over the release to us. Because we are joined to this ministry, which means there is a release to us. Amen? Give God the glory for that. Amen? Hallelujah. It will not be by greater labor on your part, but by a supernatural multiplication and a divine release from heaven through this earth to you. And you will do this thing I have commanded you, and you will not come short, and you will not fail. And all this ministry that I have placed under your hand will prosper and increase mightily. You will not lack, you will not want, and you will not be diminished. Only rest in me and rejoice in me. Yes, rest and see if I will not do this thing just as I have told you, and you will see the goodness and the faithfulness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen? Amen.
Cynthia?
Yes, ma'am.
Just remind everybody, that was to this church, this body.
Yes, that is to this church, to this body, specifically to us.
During the days of refreshing.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. This was 2002. And it was. And Brother Moore pulled Brother Copeland up and gave that word. Amen. But it is to this church. It is specifically for us. That's all of us who are joined to this church. So receive it. And this is what I was saying. Grab a hold of it. Grab a hold of it. Because if we are going to be one of these partners that are very strong financially, then we have to, come on, receive this. We need to be praising God. I am strong financially. I am strong financially. I am strong financially. Because Luke 6:38 said, "This give I give, and it's given unto me. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, do men give into my bosom." Because see, all the money that's in the earth is in the earth. It's not coming from heaven. So men are giving to us. Amen. So it's coming, and we're not looking to a specific person or a place. The source is always God. And we are receiving, but it's coming into our bosom. When we're receiving, I receive it now. We have it now. Amen? We have it now. So what about 2020? Many things will be said about vision in 2020 because of the natural nature of 2020 eyesight. But you and I and those that seek the face of God and know the voice of God will have vision, insight, ideas, and concepts. And it will be a time of the fulfilling of the word that was spoken in my word that said, the young men and the old men shall have visions and dreams. My dreams, saith the Lord, is the continued rebirth of this nation. It has already begun, and it will continue. For you see, in these last days, saith God, I have taken over the politics of the United States. This is the only nation ever founded by a people specifically because they loved me and wanted to worship me, and I have never forgotten it, and I will never forget it, and I am the God of this country, and it will be reported far and wide, and people will come from far and wide, and they will say things, and they will do things that they have no idea why they said them or why they did them. For in 2020, the continued rebirth of this nation is a surety. It is a good thing. And you will see it come to a place, praise God, that is more than you have ever dreamed or wanted in a place. This is mine. I promise you, and I give you my solemn word, said the Spirit of Grace. I have. I know what to do with the pharaohs and these little politicians of today. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, they are so easy to deal with compared to the pharaohs of old. But I know how to deal with them. I know how to deal with politicians today. Oh, there are those that think they know. They think they're doing what they're supposed to do. Ha, ha, ha. All over the world. Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I know them all. I understand them all. I have insight into their thinking. And I am in the... Oh, is where he went to. And, you know, it's interspersed with tongues and laughter. And I... You hear me now. You hear me now. You understand what I'm saying. From the top of the world and all over the world, wherever there is a government, wherever there are people, wherever there's a voting, wherever the people can't vote, I'm there. Wherever people seek my name, I am there. And those that don't think I hear, don't understand a word I'm saying, I hear it and I move in behalf of it, whether you think I do or not, or whether they think I do or not. I hear the cries of my people, and there are certain things that are taking place today. It would never have taken place had my people not prayed and cried out to me. Oh, these are the days, said the Lord. These are the days of mighty grace. These are the days of wonder grace. Oh, certain lines have been drawn, certain things that can't be crossed, certain things that cannot be changed, other things that can be and will be changed, certain lines that have been attempted to be crossed, but they can't because they are not as they are established in my word, saith the Lord. And I know what I'm doing. There are, ha, ha, ha. Glory to God, glory to God. Nicolas Maduro is gone. He is gone. Glory to God, I said it. He will leave in the middle of the night, and he will steal all he can steal, and he'll go to Cuba. I am protecting his life because I've been asked to do so in order for him to be born again while he's in Cuba. Because I have a move of God going on in that place. I have many, 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 many partners in this ministry, to this ministry, saith the Lord. I have many there. I have many that teach and preach the word of faith. I have many there that are praying for him now. And that's the end. That is the end of communism in Venezuela. It is ended now. It is over now. And I am moving at this very moment to end communism in Cuba. It is over. It is over. I am moving now. I am moving now through the mighty church in China. You have no idea how many born again, Holy Ghost baptized people I have in China. It is the ruling force in China. And communism is burning, and it is burning, and it is burning down in China right now. And if they don't pay attention to me, then China will burn down. I've said it before, and I say it again. Ah, but I am the God of the Chinese people. They have looked out towards me because of the missionaries of old. So many, so many. While it was still open to do so, I kept calling them. I kept calling them, especially Americans. I kept calling them to China. I kept calling them to China. I kept calling them to Africa. And glory to God, the biggest move of God on the planet is in China, and it will continue to do so until communism is wiped off the Korean Peninsula, until it is completely wiped out. And the dynasty is over. It's over. It's only a matter of time. And that is in only a matter of days. Many, 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 while it was still open, many, many, for years and years and years and years and years and years, I called people to Africa while it was the dark continent. And then communism came in there. And then my man, Reinhard Bonnke, went to that place and began preaching on street corners. And I blessed him and honored him to the point to come to where 1 million people more than once answered one single altar call in Africa. Hallelujah. Nigeria soon to be united. Glory to God. With that, then that non-government, and I have declared myself ruler. God said, I have declared myself ruler over this earth. And if you go back in it, it was somehow not typed in here. And he said, Islam is over. And the nations are being moved right now and associating themselves according to my word and according to my plan before the foundation of the world. And these are the days. You'll see it. You'll see it. You'll see it come to pass. You'll see it come around just like a little puppy runs up to his master and falls at his feet and just stands there and smiles and wags his little tail. I am master of this universe, said the Lord. I am the God of gods and the King of kings. And I spoke it before the foundation of the world. Glory to God. Before this earth was ever created, before natural things ever came to pass as you know them today. I said it and it's working just exactly like it's supposed to work. Oh, don't misunderstand me. Intercession is necessary. That's the reason I have intercessors. That's the reason I have people that give forth intercession and supplications and thanksgiving for all men, for all that are in authority, so that the church live in peace, honestly, honesty and good godliness. For this is good in my sight with the Savior. And I have had intercessors since the very beginning. It got down to a few, but I've always had a few. Now I have an abundance of intercessors and prayers and seekers that seek first the kingdom of God. And they are in every nation on this planet. They're there and you're here and you are well and you are strong. So come together. Worship together and know this. The greatest is yet to come. The value of prayer is more than you've ever known. And the times of prayer, the times of intercession have come to a place where it's no longer so much the groaning, but the praising and the shouting. For the victory has come. Hallelujah. The victory has come. Hallelujah. It's the praising and it's the shouting. 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 Glory to God. It's the praising and it's the shouting. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
rita la na vo shitanini. Oni na gondo rita bashataraba. Ah, the boshita. It's the praising and it's the shouting. Oproso toko. Oproso teke. And the fashture. And the kaya. And the kaya ohobri. And the yashuko remanandi. And the vashitiko operandere. Oprata tarabati. Obrisa taraboshe. And the katarabu orimana. And the yashuko rivasi. Yeah, so terrible. Eh, terrible, she took her, but hey, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Oh, toko, yo, boche, for recitana, no, for rabba boche, oh, tababa shoto. Oh, Taraboshete, read the decor, Tarabai, or in a rusititita. Yeah, Sataraboshea. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice forevermore. Oh, Rubositara Roboshe. Pia Rita Tarabeshitu. Brinda Rabashitarabo. Yes. Rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. 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 Hallelujah. Oh, Robocotaraban Shiti Kitidiasa. Oh, Rubo Shiti Dicando. Yerebo, Rebesi, Rebesi. Brindai, 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 Brindai. Kitarabo, Shitarabasi. Keredicatarabosha than a mandede de Beko. Yes, 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 yes. Kitarabashitaraboshe. Oh, Robo Bobo, yeah. Oh, Tarabo Katana Maya. Yes, Tukuri Mandi Kataya. Oh, Brucey Tidiketi di Yodo. Yeah, Tarabashuku Rabasi. Oh, Robo Boshe. Nakaya, 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 the Obrandereko. Batsi Urisi Takana. In the Mancho. Tell him the Jesus I'll Never Forget medley. So that's number 8. Superosutaya. Operanaraboshe. God said he is master of the universe. He is master of the universe. He is the master of the universe. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Glory to God. Jesus, I'll never forget. I'll never forget. I'll never forget. I'll never forget how you brought me out. I'll never forget. Hallelujah. Right.